Hello once again, and welcome back to the Pathway to Purpose podcast. I'm very excited that you clicked on it. It means so much to me. This podcast episode is a little different. Instead of me having one guest on, I have multiple guests. It is a men's group that I am a part of, and I'm so excited for you to hear our conversation about saying yes to God and what it looks like, what we thought it would look like, what it doesn't look like. It's truly an amazing conversation. Remember to share this with somebody, because ultimately the goal is for us to reach more people so that people like you can hear it and their lives can just be affected in such a positive way. So once again, thank you for being here, and I hope that you enjoy. Welcome back to another episode of the Pathway to Purpose podcast. This one's going to be a little different because I have, as you can see, well, some of you can't because it's a podcast, but as you can see, a group of amazing men of God, and we're going to start off the same way and just ask someone to tell us a story about a time that they say yes to God, but I'm going to answer it. So a little different, and then we'll just talk about what it looks like, you know, to say yes to God. But about this time last year in 2020, I said yes to leading an e-group at my church. An e-group is a small group where we just, it's like a Bible study, and we talk about real life stuff. And these are my guys, some of them. And, you know, when I took over leading the e-group, you know, I was scared. I had a lot of doubts that I couldn't do it. I was like, I'm going to stutter through every word that I say in front of everybody, and nobody's going to listen to me. I'm never going to have anything to say. Nobody's going to come and listen. And every single day that I drove here, I was like, nobody's coming. Nobody. But people kept showing up, and people kept signing up. And there's literally somebody who signs up almost every single week, and I contact them. Sometimes I'm a little late. And, but I'm like, hey, come on through. And it's changed my life because I've surrounded myself with people who are like-minded, you know? And because I heard God tell me to do something and I stepped into it, you know, things just started to fall into place. And I talk with y'all at different times, and, you know, the encouragement that y'all give me, you know, because y'all have experienced something that I'm going through in that moment. Like it's amazing. It's amazing to hear from people who like to know that I'm not alone. Yeah. Cause sometimes I'll feel like I'm alone in a situation. Like nobody else has gone through this, even though the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun, you know what I'm saying? But how do y'all feel about, you know, when you say yes to God versus saying no? Cause you hear him say something, like, do you act on it, or do you kind of hesitate, or is it a little easier? Tell me about it.
It's always bittersweet. Like, I know saying yes to God initially is a relief, it's peace, but then you have that, like, feeling of, oh crap, what's he gonna ask me to do? I mean, the walls are open at this point. But I will say, for the things that I have said yes to in my life, God hasn't failed. So I have to remember that every time, like, because if not, you will talk yourself out of some things. Definitely. You really need to do, and other people can be benefited from. So
that's right.
It's like you're trying to make it a building block, like,
yeah,
all right, I'm gonna say yes to this. Okay.
Yep.
That turned out good. So that one worked out when he told me to do it. All right, he told me to do something else now. Okay. This one might not end up the same way.
Yeah.
But he looked out for me in that one. So I know he's gonna look out for me in this one. So right. I'm gonna say yes to this one too.
If he's done it once, he'll do it again.
Definitely. I don't know, for me, coming to e-group was...
It was hard for you, wasn't it?
It really was.
Wow. Why was that difficult?
I'm really not big on crowds. I love people.
Yeah.
I do. But I'm very comfortable being by myself.
Me too.
Like, I don't have to have anybody else with me. Like, I love my wife, and she's my favorite person. But as long as I know she's there, so I'm good. But I'm good. Like, COVID was like, honestly, one of the best things that happened to me.
I wasn't saying make that sound bad, but like, I was able to, you know,
I'm able to work from home.
Right.
I was honestly, I don't think I went outside for maybe 3 to 6 months.
Yeah,
well, I never went outside. Like, and I barely left my office because I didn't have to. So it's like,
you would end work and still stay in there. Yeah. We're like, what is Eric doing?
Probably feet up.
Is he still working? No, he just watched TV.
Probably feet up, watching TV, or reading something, or
learning something. Yeah, like, you know,
just doing something. But I know one thing God was telling me was that at this point, get yourself around some people. Mm-hmm. One of my words that he told me that for the year, my word for the year was speak.
Wow.
If you're not around people, who are you going to speak to? So I said, all right, I'm going to go to E-Group and I'm going to attend it and it's going to be awesome. And I'm going to make some new friends and we're going to talk and enjoy. And I went into it like that and that's how things were. So
that's dope.
So I thank you guys for that.
Yeah, likewise.
Anybody else got a yes they got told them to do?
Well, definitely saying yes to going to Vivid Church.
There you go.
During the time that Elevation wasn't meeting.
And, yeah. Because they started meeting even when Elevation wasn't.
Yes.
And then you got around more people. Is that made it better?
Yeah, that made it a whole lot better. Plus they're leading me to need to do things that Elevation never let me even attempt.
Yeah. That's good when you have an opportunity to step out and try something new, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, were you scared? Like, what was it?
Heck yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be in that kind of situation.
That's right.
Where is Vivid Church?
You know where Lexington Middle School is over in Lexington?
Don't know Lexington too much.
It's in downtown Lexington.
Okay.
Yeah. Anybody else got one, Charles?
Well, I think... kind of part, whatever, talking about being around other people, it can be nerve-wracking. But like you were saying too, knowing other people are nervous about what God's telling them to do is encouraging.
Right.
Because it's so easy to get trapped in your own head. And kind of go, what if this, what if that? And then the devil just kind of takes you on a spiral downward.
Yeah, definitely.
But if you get that courage to come to an e-group like this or talk to other people that are Christians and go, hey, I'm really nervous about this. I feel God telling me to do this. And they're like, you know what? I've been through something similar. Maybe it wasn't telling me to do this, but yeah, I felt like a call to do something and I was scared out of my mind, but hey, guess what? It worked out. And it's one of those things, like you look back at the Bible, like it's kind of interesting that God reminds you throughout every time like Israel would screw up, he'd go, did I not take you out of Egypt? Did I not feed you in the wilderness? Like I got a track record here. If you listen to me, I got good things going.
Give me credit for what I've done. I didn't do it.
But it still doesn't make it easier to not be nervous. But it's just that back up and go, all right, yeah, he did do this stuff. And like you think hard enough in your own life, you're like, all right, yeah, he did get me through that. But being around other people to go, hey, I'm not alone in my human nature of being nervous about this.
Yeah.
I think it's really beneficial to be in a group like this or being able to talk to other people. Even as nerve-wracking as it can be to share stuff like with people.
Yeah. Very well said.
Is there anything that you feel like God is telling you to do now? Anything that you feel like there's something pushing you and you don't want to say that it's God, because if it was God, you would feel, you know, like I have to do it. It's like, I feel this inclination, you know, like, is there anything like that? You can think, I need some time.
Yes, I do.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to get back on the job hunt despite this legal battle I'm enduring.
Looking for jobs is difficult.
It is a job.
You know what you're telling me? Thomas, I've been on that hunt for over 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness. Yeah.
Hey, but if he's telling you to move,
it's time to move.
Yeah.
Even though it's not fun.
Yeah.
No.
What could happen if you step out and do it?
Well, God hasn't let me down yet.
Yeah. Come on, man. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I've gotten back into writing, and I feel like God is telling me to put something together.
What are you writing?
It's some dark stuff, y'all. I'm gonna be honest. Like, it's been a healing journey.
That's right.
Are you writing like short stories or like books?
Things, like poetry, short stories.
I see the book.
It's all kinds of
things.
I started it in the middle of undergrad and then dropped it and picked it back up during COVID. So I don't know. I feel like God wants me to do something with that. I don't know. I don't have the resources to do anything else. But
how did it help you in the past? Like, help you and other people, or?
I hadn't shared it with too many people. I shared it with my brother. Mm-hmm. He's a supporter of everything I do, so sometimes it doesn't help, but.
That's love.
It definitely got me out of my head. Yeah. Like, cause I'm an introvert and it's hard to like make the inner world like visible to people. Mm-hmm. Like, I can think on things for years, but saying it and acting it out and being vocal about it is tough. So that has helped me to kind of organize my thoughts.
That's good. Vocalize it. Is he telling you to share it with more people now?
I feel like he is, and I'm like, God, you don't have problems. But I mean, Pastor Trudy gets up and he's raw about his feelings and music. I mean, God was raw, Jesus was raw on the cross, so that was it.
Yeah, I feel you on that one. I feel like being vulnerable, because I did the same thing. I used to hold back a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
and honestly, if I'm being honest, I still do. Like, there's stuff that I don't tell you. But, you know, I've also found that when you're more vulnerable, more people get delivered.
Absolutely.
Because people, like I said, people hear your story, and they're like, man, he got through that.
Right.
I can do it too.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the biggest thing about, you know, God is.
For sure.
Is that, we go through things, and we don't want to. Mm-hmm. But what helps me in the moment sometimes is when I think, like, I'm going through this right now. I know that there's going to be an end to it, but there's other people out there that don't.
Right.
So I'm going through it so that they can see that they can later.
Yeah.
You know?
It's basically, he uses us as counselors. We're each other's counselors. Like, even though we're not certified by law to be a therapist, but this is therapy. Yeah, therapy comes in different ways, shapes, or forms. Some people is hitting the gym. Mm-hmm. Some people's writing, some people is music. Some people it can just be like doing a project like architecture or whatever it is.
That's right.
So like when you ask the first question, recommitment, for me, some of y'all knew my struggles, but it's just that recommitment. I knew what I was gonna do. I remember July 20th is when I was like, I'm all in, Father. Like I was walking, but I'm like, I was like swaying left up, right? So, but mine was on July 20th, recommitment for me, just one-on-one, just me and him, and then at my apartment. And then the next couple weeks later on August 8th, I was already baptized as a kid. Like I did it because my dad did it. Like, okay, I'm gonna do it, follow him. Yeah. But actually this time was for me just walking in my truth and just like walking, kind of like the song goes, Walking in Memphis. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's basically that concept, just walking in. And I've seen things correlate. Actually, stepping out on like kind of like the fear of dating apps, I guess, because as a guy, it's like, you go on these things, you don't know what you're going to get yourself into. So like, you don't know who you're meeting and everything. But actually, it's turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Because of actually, I've been, a ear for some person that actually, a young lady that's been in Greenville, and we just stayed friends. But another person actually is just working out for us and everything. So that concept of, my thing is like you said, you've been in your own head. I've been like that. I'm an extrovert, dive into anything, but certain things, I'm just like, like I said, dating apps or anything else, I'm like, I got that gut feeling. Like, I don't know. I'm like, just out of date. you said you hide it into things. The way I covert is like, I'm about to just go make this money. I'm about to pick up a second we need you to come in. I'll be glad to work that extra shift. And I'll be like, why the heck did I just do this? So, yeah.
I kind of want to go back to what you said about baptism.
Yeah.
You know, it's the public declaration of your faith to Christ. And I got baptized when I was young. I think I was like 5. And, you know, I've known God my whole life. I've been blessed enough to be that person. But if I'm thinking about it, really, I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah, I was like 12.
Yeah.
I just did it. I didn't know what it was, but it's just like,
you didn't know fully.
Yeah, it wasn't like, okay, this is me standing in like anybody can test. I don't want to say test you, but you can be like, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like, I'm walking in my truth. Right. Like, it's nobody else. I'm not following anybody. I'm like following nobody. It's me and him, one-on-one, mano a mano. He's calling.
I'm here and I'm answering the door.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, June 19th, 2019 was when I got rebaptized.
Yeah.
And like from there, like stuff just legit just started falling into place because I understood what I was doing more.
Yeah.
And I had a different relationship with God. You know, I trust him a lot more than I did. And I thought that I knew him
right
before that.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's not like a switch. Like, it's not like a certain point, you know, but over time you're like, man, this is different. And, you know, you started to chase him more because he's always there. Like, did anybody else have that experience with baptism? Like, did you get baptized young? Not that it was a bad thing, but did you? And then you got rebaptized as an adult?
Yeah, definitely. And I was like 5 or 6 when I got baptized. And you, of course, being raised in church, you gotta get baptized.
Christening as a baby, and then you get baptized.
And I remember it was February 24, 2012 was when I got baptized for me. Like, this is my relationship with Jesus. This is my decision. Nobody said, come walk up there. This is just your time. It was me and Jesus. And he was like, all right, go walk up. This is your time. Yeah. Go tell him who I am.
I love that.
Yeah. So it's different when you do it for you.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like starting a relationship. And I'm like letting everybody know I'm in this relationship.
Yeah.
It's us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you
became
Facebook official.
Yeah. Exactly. In the words of in 2006, I'm like, this is actually it. 05, 06, the queen of soul, everybody knows Mary J. Blige. Yeah. It's like, just take me as I am. Yeah. We'll have nothing. Like, this is what it is.
Come on. That's a good album. I don't know. I feel embarrassed. I don't know that. I probably know some songs. I don't know that.
It was interesting what you're talking about, like we're being counselors for each other, but it's one of those things, like when you come in here, it's like, all right, everybody believes, like there's a sense of love in here, because it's like, all right, Jesus loves us, we love each other, and you go, all right, it's okay to share. Like, I know they're not, whatever I share, it's not going to be, oh, is this going to like impact a job I have, or is this going to impact some other relationship? It's like, no, they're in here to like, they just love me. And they're just trying to help me, right? Just like I'm trying to help them. And having that basis, I think, changes the whole ability to have conversations.
Absolutely.
And what you can have them about.
Yeah.
I've been in groups where, and not anything recent, but like I used to be in groups where they would like push you to talk over and over again. And it, not everybody... No, everyone's tough, you know.
I was a member.
It's like, I just want to, you know, sometimes you just want to come and listen. You just want to come and learn. Yeah. But I think when you're forced to talk, it's like you're being forced to leave.
Right.
So when you make it a safe space where you can just listen, and then after a while you just keep on coming, you open up.
Yeah.
You open up because you realize that like nobody's judging you. Right. We don't have time for that here. And if you got time to judge people here, talk to me after. We'll have a good conversation. I ain't gonna lie to you.
It's funny you said that. So when the first group I did was the Philippians study during COVID.
Yeah.
But it was on Zoom. I literally, probably the whole first meeting, didn't even turn my camera on.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And then the next one I went to, like, I turned my camera on, but I didn't really say much. I said, like, hey, like, my name or whatever, but other than that, I didn't really say much. And it took probably 2 or 3 of them before, like, I started talking up a little bit. And then, like, the first time I came here in person, and I was like, yeah, I'm just going to not really say anything the first couple times.
Yo, Charles was a sleeper.
I really didn't say much at all. But it's just like I said, you've got to, like, the more you're around it, the more you realize how the people are interacting with each other.
Yeah.
And once you see how they're interacting with each other, you go, okay, well, it is okay, like, if I say something. But I agree with you completely. It's very important to go, listen, you don't have to say anything if you don't want to. Like, feel it out. Like, get used to it. It's almost interesting what an important part of not saying anything at all is a way to welcome people.
Yeah.
So, like, just, it's funny, I had a quote, something that said, sometimes you just need a hug. Don't even say a word. Just, like, as long as you just need that look to somebody, like, listen, it's cool.
Yeah.
And that's all they need that time. and they don't need to say a word, and you don't need to say a word, but it's just that those little things, how it's all part of loving someone.
Right.
But it, like what you said, so one of our e-group guys, actually, I'll just, folks, give us a minute.
One of the quotes that he
does. Yeah, he is, he shares different quotes all the time. And it's like the most recent one he did, the best view after the hardest, the best view comes after the hardest climb. Yeah. So basically what I look at that is we all are going through our own struggles, but the view looks, when we look back, the view is like, man, how did I make it through this?
Right.
And it's like, I'm like, that's why there's songs like, I'm like, like testimonies, or I'm like, yeah, like when you have graves in the gardens, like, yeah, this is like the view of what he put his own life, God put his own life. Like, nobody can say, like, I could throw my son on there, like, and not have a care. No, this man actually put his son on, like, his only begotten son. So the fact that he's like, I'm like, cool. And that concept of you just basically, like, hey, this is what it is. I'm like, and going back to what you were saying, onion peel theory.
Yep.
So for those that don't know, onion peel theory is like you're peeling one layer off at a time, because everybody's had their experiences in church that is maybe I would say deflated them mentally, spiritually, and physically to where it's just like, okay, you have this onion, you're this hard onion, and it's like you have to eventually, everybody wants to peel it off at one time, but it's going to make you cry. So sometimes you need to just piece by piece, and then eventually it's going to make you cry because you're going to break eventually, to each his own. But
that is so good. That
it's just good. Going piece by piece by piece.
It's a process.
Yeah, it's a process. Like everybody's process is different. Eric's is, it was actually being in the house, being in the South by the Lord's, like, you need a time to find, like, it's time to voice your you're a cop. Like, I look at different people, I'm looking at everybody's different thing, even mine. So you're a cop, you're just like, okay, you've been leading people day in and day out, like serving and protecting. Now it's time for you to serve and protect in a different way.
Wow.
By like hearing your calling of sharing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, everybody has their own, like Charles says he feels naked about the thing, but Charles, like, I still see Charles and Charlotte because I could still see him as, I'm like, he's still got a word of wisdom to share.
Did you know that black drunk body?
Yeah. Like,
this is the only wisdom I got right here.
But something will come to you.
Charles is different, though. Like, Charles is randomly, he'll be like, I got something for you.
You see him start flipping the door.
He's
like, loading up something right now.
You give Charles 3 minutes, he's gonna fix your life.
And then like going on, I'm like, I can say Jeffrey's actually stepped out of his introvert because somebody encouraged him to play kickball. I know I would have never seen him play kickball. I'm like, yeah, so it was like, cool. So you're taking that, like the fears, and like it's like the song's like, cast all your fears. I know for those, like, you've been in that church, like at that altar call is like, cast all your fears upon the Lord. That's what we're doing in this session. We're casting all our fears into the atmosphere and just relieving. So
yeah, that's awesome, dude.
I was thinking about just back to purpose, right? You said, so we have these like feelings where we just know that we're supposed to do something, and that's our purpose. You know, there's this feeling that we have. It's like, this has to get done. And you said something about me being a cop, and now I'm leading it. I'm fighting a different way.
Yeah.
My mom used to say something that used to make me mad all the time. Okay. Cause I wanted to go into the military. Like, I knew that I was going to be Air Force. I wasn't going to be Air Force. I'm going to be something else. I'm going military.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept saying, you want to fight on the wrong battlefield. You're supposed to be fighting for God. I'm like, I'll be fighting for God every day. Like, I'm going to tell people about God, you know, blah, blah, blah.
You're just going to put it in 16.
But she kept saying it, and I'm like, well, but I just want to go to the military, mom. Like, I just want to go serve my country. And I never went. And I guess to me at the time, I thought that me fighting on the wrong battlefield and going to fight for God meant that I was supposed to go be a pastor at some big church.
Yeah.
And that's not the case every day, every time, you know.
Yeah.
We're ministers every day when we choose to intentionally tell people about God,
to intentionally speak to that person that somebody may never talk to, you know, that person who God's telling you, hey, go pray for that person. And you have to be obedient and then do it. Like you are a minister. Like you said, we don't need credentials, you know? Yeah. And gosh, he used to make me so mad. I'm just being honest. Like, mom, I just want to, like, let me do what I want to do. Like, I'm an adult now.
But that's the purpose. Like, we don't find our purpose until later than, like, some people find their purpose at the age of 19, 20. Mm-hmm. So I just think about, like, everybody's calling at different times.
Yeah.
It's interesting you said, I'm talking about saying, mom, I should do my own thing. I guess some of the devotionals I was reading recently, they talk about Israel kind of wanted to go its own way, and God saying, no, I told you to go this way. I put people in front of you to lead you the right way, and yet you kept wanting to go your own way.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we're here to like punish them to go, listen, I need you to get back to where I told you to go. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things that even from a young age, we always want to fight to do our own way. Whether it's with our parents, our teachers, whatever authority figures it is, we want to fight to do our own way until we realize, all right, maybe there is some intelligence they have, but maybe they aren't. but you've kind of been reflected the ultimate authority of figures, God.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And so throughout your life, you constantly get pulled back to, oh, I'm going to fight, I'm going to do it my own way. And he's got, no, I got this purpose for you.
Yeah.
But eventually you're going to listen and like, see, this is like, I got good things planned for you. Like, it's going to be scary, but
he knows best.
But he knows best. And I guess we don't always look at it because we're like, oh, I don't want to do what my parents want to tell me to do, or I don't want to do what teacher tells me to do. But kind of sometimes act the same way around God. And you're like, you start thinking, like, man, I really don't want to act that way to him.
Mm.
Yeah.
But it also reminds me of like another thing is that I think about when you brought up the, like, you want to do your own thing as a kid. It makes me think about the little kids that are 1, 2 years old. Like, as a child, you're curiosity. So you're going, and I'm thinking about the light sockets because that's the first thing I'm catching. So kids put his hand in the light. You're not supposed to. Don't put it in the door. Don't mess up. You're getting shot. And then, but that's the thing. Like, you're going to, like, a kid's, your curiosity is, like, the things that you hear, like, in the Bible. Like, people tell you, like, you can read this, and you find out, like, oh, this is shocking. I didn't look at it like this. I'm like, oh my, wow. And it's just like curiosity starts to, like, I want to know more. I want to thirst for more.
Right,
but it's
right.
Just that time and place in your life. It's like, I need to know more. I want to know more. Mm.
Well, last thing I want to touch on specifically is just fear, you know, because you got the curiosity sometimes, but sometimes you don't move forward in it because you're scared of the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yes. How have you overcome fear?
I'm getting to the place in my mind where it's like, I'm more scared of like, what will happen if I don't do it? Like, my mom was easy.
Honestly. Like, you had enough things happen that like, when you didn't do it, you're like, oh yeah, I know what happens when I don't do it. I'm tired of that.
When somebody else would do an idea, and I'm like, they did it well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I could have done that.
Yeah. You ever seen somebody do something that you should have done, and you're like, dang. Like, I could have done that.
God, look at me.
There was a podcast. This is a word. There was a podcast, not specifically what I'm doing, but like, I don't know what they did different, but they like started, they just like, it was a Christian podcast. It's called like, I don't know what it's called, but it's about Christians and marriage, and they just took off. I'm like, dang, what am I doing wrong? I'm like, if I'm not. And I know what I'm doing wrong. I'm not giving my all. You know what I mean? Like, and if I work harder, we talked about that. I know, right? It's like, if I work harder, if I literally do everything that I told, that God tells me to do, and I'm stop being scared about it. Cause like you said, my biggest thing is my speech. And I just, like, I always feel like I'm going to stutter all the time. Think about it. Maybe you heard me stutter in this whole entire podcast. Yeah, like, and it's because I'm comfortable around y'all. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
I'm not you. I don't ever hear it.
People never hear it.
I don't know.
I'm gonna watch this back and I'm gonna be like, dang, this guy stuttered all the time. but like it's like so many things, like, you know, if we do what we're supposed to do, we like, somebody wrote in a book once for me, and I think I shared this with y'all the other day, and she said, take courageous steps and confidence will follow.
Wow.
And I used to always think I have to be confident and then move, but instead you're being courageous, and the courage comes from following what God tells you to do,
right?
Because He gives us that courage.
Yeah,
you know, He makes us move. You know, that's what's different.
So true, man.
Talk to me about fear.
For me, I think about two things. The first thing I think about, all right, if I don't do this, well, first thing I think about is, all right, He's putting me through this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going through something for somebody else, not for me.
Wow.
So that technically I have to get through this. I have to help somebody else get through it.
Yeah.
So I try to keep that in mind. And then I also try to think, all right, the time I spend not doing what I'm supposed to do is an additional time somebody else has to spend in bondage, right, or additional time somebody else has to spend hurt or going through something because I decided,
right,
I'm not going to finish that right now. I'm going to do it later. Or I'm a little too afraid to do it right now. I might see what it looks like in a month. And that's a month of somebody else going through turmoil.
I mean,
as for me, all I'm going through is my feelings.
Ooh.
So I try to keep those two things in my mind before I do or don't do something.
Right.
So it's a...
oh my God.
Dang, that's
it. It makes you feel bad when you're just like...
Yeah.
So for the people that I didn't do right with, I apologize now.
When it comes to fear, it's... I don't know when it happened. It happened a long time ago. I'm not some old person. I've lived many lives in a short period of time, but one realization I have has always kept me from doing anything that I wanted to do or think about doing is the answer is already no.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do anything, it's still no. If you do something and it doesn't work, then what did you lose?
That's exactly right.
Right.
So it's always good to go, regardless of what it is. Don't worry about the consequences of it because it wasn't going to happen anyway. If it's going to be no.
That's exactly. Oh, right.
That's really good.
Yeah. I like that. That takes some pressure off.
Right.
Yeah. And we put a lot of pressure on ourselves too.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
9 times out of 10, you're just like, one, nobody really cared as much as I thought they were
right.
going to.
Right.
And then two, it wasn't that big of a deal that I was making it.
Right.
It wasn't to what I was making it out to be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some things that are still big deals, but it wasn't to that extraness that I was making. So
can you share what we talked about Gary Vee and the car ride over?
Yep.
Please do. Oh, so Gary
today. Okay. No, so I listen to Gary Vee a lot, so I don't know what he was talking about. And I mean, some people don't like it because of the language, but he is who he is. But no, so he was saying the scariest thing for him is being in a room with people who care what other people think.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was saying once you can get past that fear of what other people caring about what other people think.
Yeah.
Once you're at the point where you don't care what other people think, then you can, that's your starting point of getting to where you're supposed to be. That's your starting point of getting to the business you're supposed to have or the group of people you're supposed to meet or your spouse.
Right.
Like, so many people who are hung up on superficial things and about other people, and it's like, they really don't matter to your life. At least their cares don't matter to your life. Focus on what you're supposed to do.
Right.
You spend that time focusing on what you're doing, boom, you're gonna get what you're supposed to have.
It also doesn't affect that other person. It only affects you.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you know, they're going off
doing
their lives.
In your head.
Exactly.
They don't know that you're freaking out. Like, what do they think about me? And they're like, oh, we're thinking about something different.
Exactly.
Like, oh, you're worried about what I think about you.
They're worried about what you're thinking.
Yeah. I mean, it's just same, but I always think about the people like my parents or like pastors or teachers who, I mean, who have fear. I mean, they're human.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do with it? They decided to do it anyway.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good brought us. I mean, so
one of the things I found is just recently kind of I've been able to think about it this way is I just think, all right, well, if I do this, maybe I'll get this or maybe this will result. And I've started reminding myself that, like, the result doesn't matter.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm doing it because God told me to do it.
Mm.
And that's that's where my joy should kind of be. All right, God asked me to do this, and I did it. And regardless of what happens as a result of it, it brings that joy going, all right, I did what God said. Like, I got over the joy, is I got over that fear that the devil put in my head,
right,
that you can't go through this door, and I went through it. And maybe that door is something that I think is wonderful, maybe something that I don't realize is wonderful, I think is horrible at the time, and realize a year later was actually really amazing. But now it's going, all right, well, I got past the devil trying to talk me out of doing it.
Right.
And I did it because God asked me to do it. Yeah. Whatever the result is of it. Because it's just like you said, like, it's, you go. And you'll see whatever you get on the other side, but if you don't go, then you know exactly where you are. And
that's right.
What's that?
So I'm kind of add on to that. It's, there's still another little trick in there. If he tells you to move and then, you know, okay, I'm going to move, you can't sit in that movement in resentment.
There you go.
All right, I'm here.
Now what?
Now what? So, now what?
Oh my God.
No, don't do that.
You just get bitter.
Because it'll never end well.
Yes.
I've done that. And yeah, it doesn't end well. You need to accept it and do it with love and pride and everything, and get rid of that. So,
and I heard somebody saying, I don't remember who it was. I talked to a lot of people, but they said, you were talking about, it might have been Phil, but talking about how the Bible says that God will give you the desires of your heart.
Right.
And he's not necessarily saying what you want. He will give you everything. He's saying that when you walk in what he wants you to do, your heart will line up with wanting to do that too.
Right, right, right.
And it'll be the desire of your heart.
Yeah.
That was you, right?
Is that, that was you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. I was like, man, that is so good. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because when we're being obedient, because one, he's not going to lead us into something that's not right. You know,
yeah.
He's not going to tell us to do something that's leans more toward what the devil wants.
Right.
You know, so when we're going toward the correct thing, we can look at it and be like, man, this is right. This is where I'm supposed to be. And I feel good about it. And I was about to make a move. I was still just make this major decision in my life. And I was like, I don't want to. If I'm being honest, like, yeah, I hear God telling me to do it. I don't want to do it. And I told a few people, I'm like, I don't want to do it. But if I say that over and over again, and I'll end up not doing it.
Yeah.
Just because I'm convincing myself.
No.
Not convincing, I'm telling the truth. I don't want to.
Right.
But once I'm obedient,
yeah.
Go into it with a good heart.
Yeah.
Go into it.
Yeah.
Be joyful.
Yeah.
You know?
But sometimes it's just like two or three strategic moves. It's not even that big of a deal if you make it. Just what
right?
And it's especially if it's something that you ask for.
Yeah.
Those are the ones right there.
He's like, you asked me for this.
Yeah, I asked you, but that's not what I kind of wanted. Like
this. Remember when I said I wanted a wife? It's not what I wanted. You see, I showed you what I want.
I literally have a quote on a board in my office at home that says, don't complain because what you ask for is inconvenient right now.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
it right there.
Wow. You ever ask God for something and then you got it and it wasn't what you should have got?
Yeah.
was it for real?
I don't want to go too deep into that one.
He's like, you keep asking for this, but
here you go.
This is not what you're supposed to have, but you know what? This is how you got to find out. So here you go.
That's exactly right.
It's just like a parent teaching a child. Like, you want? Okay, here you go.
Yeah.
So hey, you want to stick the fork in the
sink? I don't know. But also, it's like your purpose is like, it's kind of like a career. I think about what you just said about the military. I actually was like, the Marines called me one day, like literally at my job, and they was like, yeah, like, because he came from California, he was doing some work here, and he called me, and I explained, I was like, I gotta tell him, I gotta be honest, because they will find out eventually. I was like, I have autism. Is that going to disqualify? Yeah, it is going to disqualify you. So, and then it's like, I thought about Air Force, because that's why I really want to do Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
It was Air Force or Navy at the time, and it was just Air Force, and then I was like, boom, do it. But it's just like, that's going to disqualify me. All right, fine. But when you said it made me, I always thought about that. But now when you said with your not, I won't say situation, but your story helped me understand, like, I'm serving in a different way, like, mine is in a different way, and, like, academically, and that's why I'm trying to go to work in the college field of actually, but in a different type of service.
You got that inclination to do something so bad that you're putting the energy in the wrong spot.
Exactly. You said it right. So it's just that concept of the purpose of, like, you want to go this way. You thinking this is the path for you, but it's like, that's not what your calling is. You, okay, I'm going to let you go. And then watch when you fall flat face, I'm still going to pick you up and then make you, let you continue to hear my voice.
Yeah.
I'm like,
with this shit, I don't want to change the too much, but it's like, well, I've known you for like almost a year. I had no clue you had autism.
Yeah,
I didn't either.
Like,
I knew Sydney for a good couple months before I knew he was a police officer. It's interesting if you get to know people outside of labels that society has.
Yeah.
Like, autism has certain labels, police officers have certain labels. Right? Like, if you get to know people outside of those societal labels,
right,
those worldly labels, you get to know who God created them to be.
Yeah,
like, it's like, wow, like, I wonder how much, like, we would actually all, like, get along with each other so much more if we, like, took out the worldly titles or labels that we have on things.
And I feel like high school is, I mean, that's the number one example, right? when I was in school, like, I talked to everybody. Like, I didn't care. If you were there, I'd talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I could look around and see so many people not doing that. There were so many cliques, based off of economic status that your parents had, not you.
Right.
Based off of race.
Or, or talent.
Yeah. And it's like, I got into things like ROTC, and that was a conglomerate of people, you know, and we all talked to each other. It's like, oh, this person's not bad.
Yeah.
But still, when you go out to the rest of the school, you weren't talking to that person.
Right.
You know? And it's peer pressure is serious.
No, that's shit. That fear is real.
When you don't want to care what people think.
Yeah. It's just, think about it like this. I don't know who it was. But yeah, it's actually being ostracized. Mm-hmm. When you get, when you're, you, the fear of, you could say jealousy, you could say that. So, like, think about it. I think this ties into it. Correct me if I'm wrong, fellas. Is Daniel in the I think it's Daniel. No, it's not Daniel. It's actually, Prince of, I'm trying to think of, I think it's Prince of Egypt. I know because of the movie. But, when the son gets the coat and he actually is, Joseph King of Dreams, thank you. But yeah, so when he gets ostracized, like, his brothers are like, yo, we jealous. And it's like, man, Lord, you supposed to help me. Like, why am I getting conscious? Like, why are they hating on me? I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right, that's right.
And I get the soul into slavery. Mm-hmm. But it's like, the thing that you have to go through a trial and tribulation to understand the triumph. You have to go through you have to climb this mountain to see the view. And, like, your family sees the potential in you, but the outsiders, it could be your siblings, it could be the outsiders, like, he doesn't, like, those labels, like you said, they can see, I'm like, how is that person going to do, how's he or she going to contribute to the world with this thing? I'm like, no, like, you see something, but I see potential more. It's just we're so, like, vision tunneled on what that thing is in front of us, but you're not seeing that bigger picture.
Exactly. So, that's good.
You gotta keep people around you who will help you see that big picture.
Yes.
It's all about having people around you.
Yeah.
Like, you know how you say your brother's gonna be for you, like, whatever you're doing? But cause my wife's like that. My wife's like that. She's like, all right. Because she goes, I know who you are, not what you've done before, all this other stuff. Like, I know who you are, know what God's called you to be. So
that's awesome.
I'm gonna talk to that person all the time. And you'll need somebody who's gonna be real with you right then.
Right.
And somebody's gonna say, no, you're doing too much right now. You need somebody who's gonna help people who are gonna help you keep that balance.
Right.
It's all that the Bible telling you have wise counsel.
Yes.
You gotta have wise counsel.
That is so true.
And that's why, that's why you need groups like this and people who you can go to and talk to.
That's why when you get married, like, you see, like, oh, this is where I fall short at, this is where she picks you up at, or
that's right.
Everything, there's a reason why there's a yin and yang. You have to have that balance of sometimes you just need that. You think you don't, but you really do.
Yeah.
This has been good.
This has been great.
Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Thank y'all so much. I feel like a better person now.
Thank you. I'm glad I came tonight. It's never a dumb moment with Cindy, guys. It's never a dumb moment.
Well, I'm always here. Yeah.
It's not me, though. It's definitely the spirit of God.
Yeah.
You know, thank y'all for coming and hopping on the podcast with me. You know, it means a lot. It means a whole lot, actually. You know, we'll take a group picture after this to post and let everybody know, like, hey, these people were here, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's it, man. You know, check out the podcast. If you're not involved in a group that you are around people who are like-minded and purpose-driven for God, then you need to do that. You need to get around somebody who loves you. And it doesn't have to start with a whole group of people. You can start with one. I feel like it's easier with a group, though. I feel like it's easier to just blend in, like we said, and just not talk, you know what I mean? But thank you all again.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for listening to the Pathway to Purpose podcast. Being able to create a platform for someone to tell their story and also a place for someone to hear it is extremely important to me. I hope you heard something that helps you grow and something that you can pass on to somebody else. Stay tuned for the next episode and check out the Pathway to Purpose Instagram and Facebook to see inspirational quotes to help you on your journey. I also want to give a big shout out to my whole team at Scott Young Media Group for making this podcast possible. Be blessed, everyone.